This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz County, California, USA. 1600 hours Pacific Daylight Time. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz County, California, USA. 1600 hours Pacific Daylight Time. It is now 4:01 Pacific Daylight Time. This is Mideast Madness. On FRSC, 101.3 FM. Streaming live at freakradio.org. Please consider donating to the cause and keep us up and running. Free Radio Santa Cruz needs a new studio. Our criteria includes somewhere near or in downtown. Programmers need 24 access to the studio, access to a bathroom, a minimum of 150 square feet, $300 a month or less, preferably utilities included. No parking tax would be very helpful. And a place which is reasonably secure, dry, and otherwise civilized. Free Radio needs a new studio. If you can help, call me here at the studio. I'll give you the number shortly. Otherwise, contact Free Radio at FRSC, Post Office Box 7811, Santa Cruz, California. That is in Santa Cruz, 95061. And while you're at it, or perhaps in lieu of helping us out with some real estate, consider donating to Free Radio. It's always a precarious situation for us. So donate as much or as little and as often as you can. Even a token one-time donation would be much appreciated. Again, that would be sent to FRSC, stands for Free Radio Santa Cruz, Post Office Box 7811, Santa Cruz, California, zip 95061. And we are well into Mideast Madness.
Zaira ترتجي من يومك الآتي من يومك الآتي الصلاة
listening to Hal Tadri, or Do You Know? Here's the announcement. Star of the East Records, the Professor Rizkuala Bunai. Exclamation point. Russell Bunai, and that's Bunai, not Brunei, and his musical colleagues were associated with the immigrant literati, the League of the Pen, a group of Arab poets, artists, and journalists led by Khalil Gibran. Along with violinist Philip Solomon and oud player Joe Budway, Bunai performed frequently for these gentlemen who referred to the trio with the sobriquet Al-Fursan Al-Thalatha, roughly the Three Musketeers. The text of Hal Tadri was composed and given to Bunai by League member Nasib Arida, who, in addition to his literary accomplishments, was a cultural leader in the community. The music, Bunai reports, was crafted by the musicians collectively and recorded in 1949. That's pretty. Although the piece, with its alternation between metric and non-metric sections, and the exposed solos for vocalist and instrumentalist, is exemplary of Arab classical genres, the music also rings with the musical modernisms as chromatic runs and double stops on the kanun. The combination of traditional and modern musical idioms emulates the qasida style of the famous Egyptian performer-composer Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, and by extension, the growing popularity of the music of Cairo in the New World. And there is a picture here with the caption, "During the summer of 1995, Russell Bunai, at age 91, listens to one of his old recordings and explains the lyrics at his kitchen table in Cambridge, Massachusetts." Again, that's Hal Tadri, and this, of course, is taken from the compact disc The Music of Arab Americans, a Retrospective Collection, Rounder Records Corporation, 1997. This is Mideast Madness on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Salam alaikum. Shalom alaikum. In the name of peace and justice, and occasionally on behalf of the Palestine-Israel Action Committee, which is part of Santa Cruz's own Resource Center for Nonviolence, greetings to you. My name is Loren Safif Tawil. Though many know me as Ren, Larry will do in a pinch. I introduce myself as a California native from just over the hill. Went to Campbell High School and West Valley Junior College. Yet perhaps the most pertinent thing in regards to this airtime is that my father was a Palestinian Arab of Jerusalem, a Christian Arab who found himself displaced by the events of May 1948, having lost all his possessions and the two businesses he and his brother owned back in Jerusalem and Haifa, and he could not return to his home and homeland. So I am an Arab-American, American-Arab, Palestinian-American. Call me what you will. All three of those terms are accurate. And that's where I'm coming from. I'm going to give you some phone numbers now. If any of you have any reason to call me, particularly if you want to argue or be otherwise civil and friendly, or if you want to make corrections or ask me questions, please call the station at area code 831-427-3772. That's 427-3772. Second line is area 831-469-3119. That's 469-3119. Now, I have it on reasonably good authority that there may be no more than a half a dozen people who are listening to me, either on 101.3 FM or listening to our website streaming at freakradio.org. Most likely six or fewer people. I would, especially for that reason, love to hear from any and all of you. If for no other reason that I know someone is listening. If you're making it a point not to call because you do not want to encourage me to continue this service, it ain't going to work. I ain't going away for a long time. Whether it's this station or another frequency, you'll be hearing from Lawrence Tawil. Announcement. I guess this qualifies as a commercial announcement. Boycott SodaStream. SodaStream is an appliance that makes fizzy, sparkling drinks at home. SodaStream is also sold as Crystal, Alcojet, Genesis, Aquafizz, Gazoz, Aqua Bubbler, Soda Maker, Fountain Jet, Sprudelino, Penguin, Edition 1, Soda Club, and other names. Why boycott SodaStream, or whatever it's called? SodaStream is made in the West Bank Mishor Edumin Industrial Park in the Ma'ale Adumin settlement. Products made in Israeli West Bank settlements are illegally seized Palestinian land, water, and minerals. Exploitation of natural resources in occupied territories is not allowed by international law, and it's certainly not fair to the native indigenous Palestinian Arabs who live there. It's hard enough for them not having any political or civil rights, having their homes torn down by the tens of thousands, literally, and living under military occupation. And yes, it is a military occupation. I don't care what else you call it. I don't care if you say these are disputed territories. That may be true, but that doesn't mean that they're not still occupied territories, militarily occupied territories. And on top of all that, Palestinians do not receive any profits from products made in occupied territories using Palestinian resources. In the name of human rights, boycott SodaStream. This is brought to us by the Palestine-Israel Action Committee of the RCNV, the aforementioned RCNV. I want to talk to you this afternoon about the Free Gaza Movement, the Freedom Flotilla, Stay Human Parts 1 and 2, however you were first introduced to it. If you've been introduced to it, you have likely heard of the incident in May of 2010 when a flotilla of several ships attempted to sail into the port of Gaza in the Gaza Strip. This is also Palestinian territory, which is under economic siege, economic blockade, for what amounts to no good reason. It's collective punishment is what it is, and what it has been since 2007. People who support the Palestinians, and not necessarily the Hamas government there, have been attempting to sail since 2008. And I interrupted my stream of thought there. In May of 2010, a flotilla attempted to come into the port of Gaza City. They were stopped in international waters, again, against maritime law and international agreement, by Israeli naval forces. A number of the people were roughed up and injured by the Israeli Navy commandos who came unwelcomed on board the ships, and in one case on board the Mavi Marmara, which was a release ship from Turkey of the flotilla, the commandos came and murdered 9 Turks. In most cases, most if not all of them, these people were shot either in the back or in the head, execution style. This was affirmed by Israel's own military investigation into the matter. Israeli is the only remote defense they have, or anyone else who wants to defend the Israelis, the only defense they have is the probable myth that the Turks tried to rough them up, were beating up an Israeli commando. Well, I saw the video which supposedly showed that. Not very revealing at all. It showed someone apparently getting beat up. And the storyline is that it was Turks who were beating up a commando, a well-armed M16 toting, body armor bearing commando was being beaten up by Turks. It was the Israelis who were boarding and shooting and killing. And it's in my mind, it just can't be justified using the excuse that they had to defend themselves. The commandos were the ones who boarded the ship and shot and killed 9. Probably shot and wounded others, but they murdered 9 of these Turks, one of these nine of whom is actually a Turkish American who held American citizenship. Now, how many people in the United States are even aware of that? The Israelis killed a peaceful activist with a gun, either in the head or the back, who is an American. All right, now if I can just calm down here. I get a little anxious when I try to get out all the facts. You've probably heard about the Estelle, the Swedish Freedom Flotilla addition to the effort. The Estelle, E-S-T-E-L-L-E. Was intercepted in the usual manner by the Israeli commandos. And here is the BBC report, dated October 20. The Israeli Navy has intercepted a boat of pro-Palestinian activists trying to break the blockade of the Gaza Strip. The Finnish-flagged Estelle left Naples, Italy on 7 October with some 30 people of eight different nationalities aboard. The boat was boarded by, the boat was boarded 30 nautical miles off the coast of Gaza, activists said, before being taken to the Israeli port of Ashdod. The Israeli military said the ship would be searched and the activists would be questioned, then deported. The Israeli military said there was no resistance from the activists, and the Israeli military did not use force. That's what they said. Israel tightened the blockade after the Islamist group Hamas came to power in the coastal sliver in 2007. In other words, I'll read that again. Israel tightened the blockade after the Islamist group Hamas came to power in the coastal sliver in 2007. So there was already a blockade of sorts even before Hamas came to power. And since then, the Israelis have made life a living hell, or continue the living hell in Gaza for as long as Hamas has been in power. Continuing with the article, subheading, Protect Our Borders. The Estelle, which activists say is carrying cement, basketballs, musical instruments, and 30 doves, that's doves, the bird, is the latest vessel to try and break the Gaza blockade. Among those on board are politicians from several European countries and Israeli activists. Activist spokeswoman Victoria Strand said Israel had carried out a, quote, demonstration of ruthlessness, end quote, whilst a spokesman for Hamas called it an act of piracy. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the activists were trying, quote, to provoke and slander Israel's name. If human rights were really important to these activists, they would have sailed for Syria. We will continue to protect our borders, he said. It comes 2 years after nine Turkish activists were killed in an Israeli Navy raid on the Mavi Marmara, one of a flotilla of ships attempting to break the blockade. Palestinians say Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip amounts to collective punishment to residents of the densely populated strip of land, that's 1.6 million residents, along the Mediterranean coast. Now, I have this next sentence highlighted in red. Israel says the blockade attempts to stop the supply of arms or other items for military use, and then in bold type, and to put pressure on the Hamas administration. They can always use the excuse, I'm breaking away from the article for a moment, they can always use the excuse that they need to stem the supply of arms and other items for military use. I'm not going to deny that missiles and mortars have been fired from Gaza, which they most likely wouldn't be doing if they weren't living under blockade, economic siege. And, by the way, largely in this country, unreported military harassment. Palestinians still getting bombed, strafed, and shot from north of the Gaza-Israel border, and the Israeli IDF will and has many times incurred into the Gaza Strip. This is not including their massacre of hundreds and hundreds, including over 300 children, in December and January of 2008-2009. They continue to do it and have done this. Relatively smaller incursions. Deadly, murderous incursions. And to put pressure on the Hamas administration. So the Hamas, as I said, probably wouldn't be firing these missiles if they could be allowed to live and prosper and develop an economy. And then probably Hamas might be open to changing their charter, which supposedly calls for the destruction of Israel. I looked at the English translation of Hamas' charter. I don't recall ever seeing. I specifically looked for words like destroy and or even kill in reference to the Jews or Israelis. I couldn't find that. The translation of the Hamas charter did talk about the need to fight the Jews, to continue to fight the Jews, along the lines of their definition of the Jews as a satanic force, or whatever term they used, and an oppressive force. That's their belief. Whether or not you think Hamas should be thinking that or not, they have included that in their charter. And Israel is not helping the situation by continuing to strangle the Gazans. It is 4:29 p.m. This is Military Madness on Free Radio Santa Cruz. 101.3 FM, streaming live at freakradio.org. That's F-R-E-A-K radio.org. Again, those phone numbers, area code 831 4273772. Alternately, call us at 469-3119. I don't care if there's only one or two people out there. My mother can be exempted, but if anyone besides my mom is listening, please call me. 427-3772, 469-3119. I just really have a need to touch base with someone. And I'm sure people would love hearing someone else's voice besides my own in this less than an hour program broadcast. It is 4:30. Returning to the article. International pressure following the deadly 2010 interception led Israel to ease its blockade, allowing more food products into the Strip. The movement of people and construction materials, such as cement and steel cables, is still heavily restricted. The importing of all weapons and military materials is banned, along with dual-use materials such as fertilizers and certain chemicals. Fishermen may only operate in a strip of water up to 3 nautical miles from the shore. And that, again, that's from an October 20 BBC report. I have so much stuff on the Free Gaza movement and on the Estelle in particular. Here, let me point out a couple of these. October 19, 2012, former Israeli Air Force combat pilot joins Gaza-bound boat. Came by motorboat, evading Greek Coast Guard, greeted with cheers, Estelle due at Gaza shore, Saturday or Sunday. Now, this is probably taken from the Gaza Ark website or Estelle's unique website. Okay, activists on board, determined to reach Gaza, consent to United Nations inspection. They always have consent. Every boat prior to sailing has consented to UN inspection. Israeli peace activist Yonatan Shapira, who had been a combat pilot in the Israeli Air Force and refused to take part in the bombing of Palestinian cities, has arrived on board the Swedish boat Estelle, which is making her way towards the coast of Gaza. When the Estelle passed near the shores of Greece, Shapira and other activists made their way in a motorboat, evading vessels of the Greek Coast Guard, which sought to bar their way. Quote, along with the Greek Coast Guard, we saw a ship which seemed very much like an Israeli Navy vessel, though it did not fly a flag, said Shapira. And being in the military, I think he would know an Israeli vessel when he saw it. Continuing, he was received with cheers by activists already on board. Shapira had taken part in the similar sailing last year, being taken off by Israeli Navy commandos near the Gaza shore and spending time in police detention, but not charged with any criminal offense. Meanwhile, Israel's ambassador to the UN, Ron Prosor, has sent a letter calling on the United Nations to stop the Estelle from reaching her destination. To this, activists on board respond, if this means that Israel has decided to cede control over Palestinian territorial waters to the UN, this would actually be a step forward. That's interesting. The UN and many other representatives of the international community have for years characterized the siege of the Gaza Strip as inhumane and incompatible with international law. That's the UN saying so, and many other representatives of the international community have for years characterized the siege as inhumane and incompatible with international law. Ship to Gaza, Sweden, the organization, assumes that the UN will not take over the implementation of this policy by itself preventing a peaceful vessel from delivering humanitarian supplies. Ship to Gaza and the Freedom Flotilla have never opposed lawful inspections of cargo and vessel by representatives of the UN, as well as by national authorities in the ports and waters we have passed through. We welcome further inspections of this kind by the UN once we have anchored in Gaza City. What we refuse to accept is something which also the UN and the majority of the international community oppose, the illegal siege of the Gaza Strip with its devastating humanitarian results. The Estelle has now set course to Gaza and, weather permitting, is due to get there on Saturday, obviously. This was written several days before the Estelle was seized by the Israeli Navy. Adam Keller, spokesperson of Gush Shalom, the Israeli peace group, who is in ongoing contact with the Estelle activists, say that Israel's prime minister and defense minister still have some 48 hours grace to make a wise and courageous decision. Avoid another show of Israeli brute force in international waters. Illegal to seize the boat there. And let the Estelle dock at the port of Gaza while implementing a thorough UN inspection of her cargo, to which the activists specifically consent. I have here a satellite phone number to Estelle, which is probably moot at this point in time, since the boat was seized by the Israelis, and the number's probably dormant. I don't see anyone want to call him on the phone, but I do have an email address, media@shiptogaza.se, most likely referring to Sweden. Media@shiptogaza.se. Gush Shalom spokesperson Adam Keller. I will give you this phone number. It says +972-5423-40749. Now, I do not know what the plus means, but it's included with the number. Again, +972-5423-40749. That is the personal number of Mr. Adam Keller, spokesperson for Gush Shalom. If you have questions or you want to take this up with him, call him personally. And here is the email address, info@gush-shalom.org. Incidentally, part of the reason I'm making such a big deal out of this is because 4 years ago, in August of 2008, I was among the 44 founding activists, founding participants, perhaps, a little more accurately, in the first voyages on two vessels, which succeeded in entering the port of Gaza. Initially, the Israeli government and the Israeli military vowed, as they always use that term, vowed, to stop the ships before they got to Gaza. Despite our announced intention to sail in peaceably, and despite their opportunity to inspect our vessels, but world pressure came upon them from the UN, and I believe at that point in time, even the US government, pressure came upon Israel to desist from boarding the vessels, stopping the vessels, and they let us in. Personally, I was very lucky. Collectively, we were all very lucky not to be stopped, not to be roughed up, not to be shot and murdered. That was August of 2008. 4 months later, the murderous invasion, bombing, and use of phosphorus incandescent napalm-like weapons were used in Operation Cast Lead against the Gazan Palestinians. I'm waiting for my opportunity to return. It is 4:39 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Here's another short dispatch relating to the Estelle incident from Ahab Lotief, October 20, 1:41 a.m. Subject: Israel attacks the Estelle in international waters. Israel attacks the Estelle in international waters, kidnaps parliamentarians and activists. Pay close attention. You heard me right. From Montreal, shortly after 4 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, when the Estelle was in international waters approximately 17 miles, they claim 17 nautical miles north of Arish, Egypt, as per the last coordinates we have, Israeli warships surrounded it, the Estelle, and the assault of the peaceful ship started. Communications were lost at that time, and all reports we got from the ship were choppy. Among others, the following individuals were on board. Former Member of Parliament Manley James, which is Manley is the surname, James Manley, Jim Manley of Canada, former Member of Parliament. Also on board, Member of Parliament Hagen Axel of Norway, Member of Parliament Sven Britton of Sweden, Member of Parliament Dimitrios Kordelas of Greece, Member of Parliament Ricardo Xisto of Spain, Member of Parliament Evangelos Diamantopoulos of Greece. Our previous releases on the Estelle and Jim Manley, who left a recording that I viewed and listened to that he made before the vessel, warning the world that if we're reading that video now, it's because he and the boat were taken prisoner by Israeli piracy. Previous releases on the Estelle appear at www.gazaark.org. Release a World Parliament on its way to Gaza. Submitted by Ava Manley, Ahab Lutiev, Sandra Ruch, and Nino Paglisia. In Gaza, David Heap. You have received this message via Wren from the Canadian boat to Gaza. In the few minutes we have remaining, I really want to get some of this other flotilla stuff here. Freedom Flotilla Coalition. Dror Feiler, one of the spokespersons of Ship to Gaza, Sweden, was on Sunday separated from the other Swedish passengers with the motivation that he is an Israeli citizen and should be held accountable as such. As the Israeli authorities, of course, know, this is not true. Feiler, although born and raised in Israel, left the country 40 years ago partly in protest against its policy of occupation. He is since many years a Swedish citizen and no longer has any Israeli citizenship. What the Israeli authorities aim at with their obviously false claims is unclear. The Swedish passengers have, along with the majority of the rest of the crew passengers, chosen not to sign the document containing a confession of that they have entered Israel illegally. I read that again. The Swedish passengers have, along with the majority of the rest of the crew and passengers, chosen not to sign the document containing a confession of that they have entered Israel illegally. Nine of the other passengers, one Italian, three Spanish, and five Greek, have chosen to sign the document and have then been deported to their representative home countries. The three Israeli citizens, Ruth Moore, Elik Elhanan, and Yonatan Shapira, were on trial in a preparatory hearing during Sunday morning. The judge decided against their request that the trial should be made public. The three Israelis are accused of aiding the enemy knowingly, incitement to rebellion, and acting in contravention, breaching of legal order provision, i.e. the closure of Gaza. Those three items. Their detention has therefore been extended by 48 hours, within which a new hearing will be held. The same accusations have now been directed against the Swedish citizen, Dror Feiler, the individual I spoke of, the man that I spoke of from the beginning of this dispatch, no longer an Israeli citizen by his own choice. A man, a Jewish person, highly critical of the way Israel does things vis-a-vis the Palestinians. And again, those four Israelis are accused of aiding the enemy knowingly. What enemy? These are peaceful activists who have a four-year track record of just trying to sail into the Gaza Strip, reach out to the Gazan people, making liaison with them, and attempting to bring humanitarian goods. The Israelis know this. They've never found any weapons. Overt weapons which may be used against Israelis. I've never heard them claim that they have, anyway. Also accused of incitement to rebellion. You know, the most despotic nations around the world, and even some of the not-so-despotic nations, use that excuse all the time. We're arresting you for incitement to rebellion. attempting to cause subversion. Phrases like that. In Israel, which is supposedly this great bastion of democracy in a sea of Middle Eastern Arabs, Israel is accusing them of incitement to rebellion. These are peace activists. And if they wouldn't make such a big deal out of it by bringing negative attention to the flotilla and by seizing the boat, where would this incitement be directed to? And thirdly, they are accused of acting in contravention, breaching of a legal order provision, which is to say the closure of Gaza. The closure of Gaza is considered overwhelmingly by United Nations directives and opinion to be illegal. The closure is illegal. The economic siege is likewise illegal and doesn't accomplish anything towards peace or towards the well-being of the Palestinian Arab citizens of Gaza. The effective closure, blockade, and economic siege of Gaza is considered by the international community to be illegal. But not if the Israelis say it is legal. Okay. Just a few minutes left here. I'll read you the mission statement of GazaArk.com. Gaza's Ark will build a boat in Gaza using existing resources. Now, this is their statement about what their intentions are, as well as what they're doing. A crew of internationals and Palestinians will sail it out of Gaza, the only Mediterranean port closed to shipping. The only one. Carrying Palestinian products to fulfill trade deals with international buyers to challenge the illegal and inhuman Israeli blockade. Gaza's Ark will be constructed in Gaza by Palestinian hands and expertise with international assistance where requested. Gaza's Ark will help revitalize the dwindling shipbuilding industry in Gaza and help ensure the transmission of this disappearing expertise, another effect of the blockade, to the younger generations. Through Gaza's Ark and trade deal secured between Palestinian producers in Gaza and international businesses and non-governmental organizations, NGOs, a channel will be established to export Palestinian products from Gaza that are available despite the blockade. Gaza's Ark will provide training to Gaza's sailors in the use of up-to-date electronic sailing equipment and techniques, which they have been denied for years as a result of the blockade. Although it will help in a very limited manner to alleviate Gaza's unemployment crisis by paying wages to the boat builders and providing business opportunities to traders, Gaza's Ark is not an aid project. It is a peaceful action against the blockade which Israel unilaterally and illegally imposes on Gaza. Unilateral is just as important a word, I think, to use in describing the blockade. Unilateral as well as illegal. Returning. Gaza's Ark stands in solidarity with the Palestinian fishermen in Gaza, whose ability to operate in territorial waters and to derive a livelihood is threatened by the same illegal Israeli blockade which our campaign is challenging. Finally, Gaza's Ark challenges the blockade by building hope on the ground in Gaza. It affirms our confidence that the Palestinians of Gaza can rebuild their economy through outbound trade that threatens no one's security. Now, in this mission statement of GazaArk.com, they repeat over and over the necessity and the positive aspects of building an economy. Those who support Israel, including Mr. Mitt Romney, who's running for American president, says the Palestinians, what was the term he used? I haven't written it down, so you don't have to take me verbatim. He says that the Palestinians effectively are not trying hard enough to develop their economy. They're too primitive. They are not really interested in the economy. All obviously nonsensical attributions to the Palestinian Arabs. Israel makes it difficult, if not impossible, for the West Bank Palestinians, in addition to the Gazan Palestinians, to freely develop an economy, an economy that will grow their gross monetary base and grow employment and make life livable for themselves. The Israelis just won't let them do it. And that's why they're not progressing. That has a, that's a big deal, you know. They're not allowed to flourish, which really is according to Palestinian, which is in accordance to Zionist and Israeli government philosophy. They want to choke the life out of the Palestinians, force them to leave or to consider leaving so that they can eventually occupy all of Eretz Israel, or the land of Israel, as the Israelis say. As Israel expands and expands its borders, its dominance, and its denial of rights to the indigenous, native Arab population of Palestine. Oh, 55 minutes is so short. In the 2 minutes remaining, gosh, it's such a shame that I can't get to all of this. Remember to boycott SodaStream. Where did I put that? Don't forget to watch the presidential debate tonight on TV at 1800 hours Pacific Daylight Time, 6 o'clock out here in California. I had a bunch of stuff about Mitt Romney and his overly zealous, entirely unbalanced and undue affiliation with Israelis and American Jews who support the Zion state. Mitt Romney is so anxious to please AIPAC, the Jewish lobby in Washington, and get their money to support his, you know, his presidential bid. It is sickening. This is Ren to Wheel. That's all for Mideast Madness this week. Please tune in at 4 p.m. next Monday with more really interesting stuff. Tell your friends about Mideast Madness and free radio. Send your donations, contribute donations, if you would, to FRSC P.O. Box 7811 Santa Cruz 95061. Thanks again.